Hello, 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 and welcome to the Pensive Podcast. My name is Juliana, a young Christian striving to be more like Christ. Thank you for coming here and wanting to listen to the first episode. No, I really appreciate you for being here. Thanks to all of you who heard my intro and stuck around for this. God bless you all. And for those of you coming for the first time, hey y'all, what's up? You haven't missed much. Like, I'm literally just starting, but I'm so excited for what God is going to do through this episode and what he's prepped me for. And hopefully, by the title, you can tell I'm going to be talking about blind free falling. Seems a bit odd, but I assure you, it will make sense very soon. But yeah, I just want to start with a quick word of prayer. So Father in Heaven, I just want to thank you for your love. I just want to thank you for all that you're doing. I want to thank you for those listening. I want to thank you for my life. Thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives this moment. And I just pray you will touch the hearts of everyone listening right now and my own heart, Lord, so that our desire to be more like you is just fulfilled. I just pray you'll use me as your mouthpiece and you'll just speak whatever word you have through me today in the name of Jesus. I just thank you for your love, which is never failing and just so abundant. So I just bless you, Lord, for just who you are. So yeah, I just pray, Lord, hearts are sensitive to what you have to say. And yeah, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Okay, guys. Okay, in part, I've spoken about this at a friend's fellowship earlier on in the year. But yeah, between that time I spoke about it and now, God has added so much more to my understanding of it. But basically, yeah, in essence, I'm going to be talking a little bit about faith. And I hope you are encouraged to share what you know and what you understand about faith by using hashtag the Pensive Podcast on Twitter. You can DM me if you have a lot to say or want a sense of anonymity. My Twitter is at Juliana_Ennis, JULIANA_ENIS. And I hope you comment on whichever social media platform you see this posted on. And yeah, hopefully I can share what some of you guys say in the next one. But yeah. Okay, let's dive right in. Cool. So faith for me is one thing that kept tripping me up time and time again soon after I gave my life to Christ. And on occasion, I find that I still struggle with it. And since it's meant to grow and strengthen as we grow in Christ, like, it kind of makes sense that I find that I have to revisit my understanding of faith quite often, because obviously it's supposed to grow with me. And yeah, me being a student for the majority of my life, I mean, I'm only 20, but me being a student for pretty much the whole of my life has been the primary testing of my faith. And I'm going to give you guys a little insight into, you know, how my faith links into this. Cool. So when I was going to sixth form, I kid you not, I had the next 10 to 15 years of my life mapped out. I was going to go to uni and study medicine. I was going to work for a bit, get my master's, get a car, get a house, get married, have children, go to this place, go to that country. Look, my future was set up. I had it down to a T. Like, and all I had to do at the age of 16 to 17 was get my A-levels and set this plan in motion. Simple. I planned it all. At that time, I believed, like, in God, but I wasn't born again. So I was pretty much immature and just thought that because I wasn't asking God to make me famous or to make me a billionaire, like, what I was asking for was a humble pursuit, and that, you know, God would put a seal of approval on it. You know, every prayer that I would ask, he'd be like, yeah, he'd do it. I just wanted green lights basically all the way through this 10, 15 year plan I had for my life. I weren't trying to hear nothing else. Wasn't trying to hear what anyone else was trying to say. So yeah, I was like, I got this, okay, I'm gonna do it. This is my plan, so let's go. A-levels. So your first year of A-levels, AS, results. Amen. Yeah, it was a bit mad. So yeah, I was like, no problem. Okay, it's a bit mad, not quite how I planned it, but let's rejig the plan a little bit. Let's do an undergrad in some sort of science based something. Postgrad, we'll go into medicine. A few years setback, it's a bit minor, but we get back on it. Okay, we got this. And A2, results. I don't mean to laugh so much, but guys, this would be a perfect place for that shocked gift. That guy, he starts blinking bare, like, oh, that would be the perfect. A2 results was literally just that. That was my, guys, I was confused. God had closed like every single door I wanted to go through, like just to get the life I planned. Like he closed it. I wanted this, he said nah. I wanted this, he said no. And I felt like, what? And in my heart, I knew like science was where my career was supposed to be spent. I knew I wanted so much for my life. I wanted this and that. And I didn't think God definitely was not opposed to me having these plans. Shoot, he was the one that gave me the vision for it all. Like, it didn't make sense. So why was I seeing closed doors? But I felt betrayed by him because I didn't know that this 10-15 year plan wasn't what the vision that he basically placed in my heart. I mean, he gave me the vision, but what I had done was to do it plan to do it myself essentially, but that wasn't what he wanted. But yeah, anyway, I felt betrayed by God. I felt like he flopped me, and thankfully I made it into university. But to be honest, like, it wasn't where I am now is not where I wanted to be. It's not where I planned to be in the slightest. And I was like, thank you God for everything, like thanks for getting me to uni, but yeah, this is where I give you some airtime because I'm gonna ignore you. I felt betrayed. I felt numb. I just felt like I didn't really know. I just knew that I didn't want to be close to God. But yeah, and first year was like a good temporary escape, you know, being a fresher, having raves and house parties and motives, like all of that stuff around you. I mean, I was down for it. Like, I don't mind. Let's be a bit free, you know. We're away from home. Let's just live it up. But yeah, by the end of first term, I quickly realised, like, I'm actually too lazy for that. Like, I actually could not be bothered. Plus, I'm doing chemistry. Like, this degree is a bit mad, so I don't know what I was trying to do. Like, I really couldn't do it. I myself couldn't balance that free life and, well, I didn't call it free life, but that life and the chemistry life at the same time. And plus, like, all these motives, yeah, I swear they play the same music over and over again. Like, I went to like only a few in first term, but I kid you not, it was the same thing and everyone was screaming the same song. And I was like, you know what, yeah, it's enough. I've had enough. I can really do this in my room. I could do this in my room, so I'm not gonna go and spend however much money to just do that. Yeah, anyway, back to it. So yeah, I find it boring. Second term, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna get back on this God flex and, you know, go back to God properly. And we thank God. In second term of first year, I gave my life to Christ and I started this journey that I'm on now. But I still kind of carry the shame, like, of the last few years. I kind of carried it with me. I felt like all of this, just what I'd gone through, like, yeah, all I was going through was, I felt like God didn't owe me anything. And granted, like, he doesn't owe anyone anything because he's God. And I was seeing, like, this person, that person, getting big testimonies, and I wasn't getting it. I felt like my testimonies were like small. They weren't insignificant, but to me they didn't seem like that deep. Like, it didn't seem like, oh my gosh, God, I didn't feel like I had those testimonies. So I felt like God really didn't owe me anything, so I was just floating almost. But yeah, first year exams are coming around the corner. And to be honest, with exams, obviously seeing the last 2 years, I wasn't trying to repeat it all over again. So I said to God, like, you've got me here. Like, you're the one that brought me to this university. Please just take these academics, take these exams and do what you want to do, because I need these results to be different. The last 2 years, I did not, in results day was just a day that I didn't want to remember. But this year, Lord, I want a real testimony from you. Like, this has to be my year. So yeah, I worked as hard as I could. First year exam season, with God's help, of course. I sat my exams and thankfully I was happy with the results day. Like, I was actually happy. I just began to thank God that he finally, like, fully answered me. And from that point on, like, my faith began to increase. I realized how little faith I had, but yeah, from that moment on, my faith increased, because what I hoped for, like, it, you know, it carried weight now. Like, what I was hoping for kind of came. And Hebrews 11:1, let me open it really quickly. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I felt like I finally had some sort of understanding of that, because what I'd been hoping for, like, it finally carried weight. What I was what I'd prayed to God for kind of, I'd seen it essentially. Yeah, so I was happy. Cool, more situations now came my way, and I'd give it over to God, seeking his face. Like, this is, Lord, I just need you to do your thing and for your will to be done, and applying this newfound faith that I had. I felt like it was finally going right. You know, there were situations sometimes didn't go as I thought. fair dues, but I was on the right path of just giving it over to him and trusting in God. And Jeremiah 29:11 as well also kind of encouraged me, which says in NIV, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I was assured that, you know, he had a hope and he had a future for me. So like he that's what he was saying to me, so I had to believe that too. But yeah, I just really thank God for that, that moment, well, those moments, and just even bringing me to where I am now, being able to actually be happy with where my faith is. I mean, it's not completely there, but yeah, I just want to thank God for that. But looking back at all of this, God kind of reminded me of the story of Abraham from Genesis 15. Now, I'm not going to read it all, but in chapter 15 onwards, basically, God in chapter 15 spoke to Abraham, telling him what he was promising to Abraham, and he was making a covenant with him. And in verse 5, God says to him, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you indeed can count them, so shall your offspring be." And verse 6 goes on to say, "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." Now, at this time, Abram was old, had no children. His wife Sarai was past childbearing age, and his inheritance was going to go to his servant. And Abraham hadn't done anything wrong with his life. He'd lived a decent life, but he didn't have a seed, like his own child, to leave his legacy to. But God spoke, and he believed the promise in Genesis 15. Going on to chapter 16, like Sarai wasn't fully understanding how this was going to happen. I mean, as I said, she was old. They were both old. Probably thinking, my eggs are fried. I don't know what don't know what child's gonna come from this one, but it's a closed. It's not gonna be from me. But so she offered her maid Hagar to at least bear a son for Abram, and that was the way she believed God's promise of Abram having descendants was gonna happen. So sure enough, Abram lay with Hagar, and along came Ishmael, his first son. Now, okay, let's just take a step back and really assess what's just happened. Okay, so chapter 15, God made a promise to Abram that he was going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. Cool. Abram agreed. He believed. Cool. But then Ishmael came along. Cool. Hold on, guys. Who made the promise? And obviously, by that standard, like, is therefore responsible for fulfilling it? Who's responsible for fulfilling that promise? God. So human understanding and logic kind of got into that promise. And you try to, you know, you try to fit in what God was trying to say by what you want to do, if that makes sense. But yeah, Hagar essentially got involved. Ishmael came into the picture because they just didn't understand how God was going to do it. Let's just put it that way. And funnily enough, Sarai's own plan frustrated her, because if you see in Genesis chapter 16, verse 4, she despised Hagar for being pregnant. But I'm like, Sarai, girl, isn't that your plan? Wasn't that what you planned this whole time? So why are you mad? Like, it really pointed out to me that we do the same thing. Like, we look at the promise of God, we look at the reality of it by our understanding, we try to implement it the best way we can, but it never really ends well. Like, we'll never fully be happy because we try to come up with a plan of doing it. And Joyce Meyer said once, she said, "When we don't understand and try to figure it out or figure out what God's plan is, this only brings about confusion." And the confusion that we see in Abraham's story is the first son he had, like Ishmael, because Sarai was in her feelings, Ishmael and Hagar were cast into the wilderness because Sarai bit off, well, they bit off, not just Sarai, but Abraham obviously had the choice to lay or not to lay, and he did, because, you know, but yeah, they bit off more than they could chew and they couldn't handle it. God made the covenant with the child that Sarai, well, at the point it was then Sarah, would bear. Isaac was the son of promise. His name, which means, Isaac means laughter, or he laughs, is almost ironic and banter, in my opinion, like from God's end, because Abram and Sarah laughed when God said that Sarah would bear the son of promise. And I think it's in Genesis 18, I think. Let's check. Yeah, in Genesis 17, Abraham at that time, his name had changed. Abraham fell face down and he laughed and he said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Genesis 18, Sarah, who was listening to the guests that came to their tent, they were saying that Sarah was going to bear a child, and she laughed again. And yeah, she said, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Oh no, that's what God asked her. But yeah, cool. So they were laughing. They found it funny. Like, what do you mean? Like, at that point, they had already tried and tested, and like, they weren't fully happy with the situation. So why are you still telling me that your promise is still going to come to pass? Like, it didn't make sense. But they laughed, and God was like, okay, since you find it funny, let's call your child Isaac, because is anything too hard for me? If you think it's so funny, okay, call your child Isaac. Since you think it's so funny, this is going to be a reminder of what you think couldn't have been based on your understanding. And now you look at your son, and God still did it anyway, because he made the promise. He made the promise, and he will do it. So, I mean, look at your son, and his name is Isaac. So keep laughing. So who's laughing now? Who laughing? Guys, who laughing? Okay, yeah. But question I really kind of was able to kind of get from this was, are you still looking and trying to understand God's promise as a person, or are you seeing them as a child of God whom God has made a covenant with, and that he will fulfill this promise, and all you have to do is be obedient and do what he asks? Like, the whole story of Isaac coming along, like, is anything too hard for God? Like, really ask yourself, like, is anything too hard for God? God created the heavens and the earth and the whole universe and everything in between. So ask yourself, is anything too hard for God? I'm gonna let you breathe. But yeah, just linking this back to blind free falling, like, what is the correlation? Well, if you look at free falling and some videos on YouTube, whatever, of what free falling is, it's like, it's defined as the downward movement under the force of gravity only. There's a path that needs to be traveled down, and there's a primary driving force. And the promises that God makes to us and them being fulfilled is a journey. The only way we can move is through our faith. Like, our faith is our driving force in this journey of God's promise being fulfilled in our lives. Now, the thing is, with free falling, you can see where you're going, like where you're going to end up. You'll see, you know, yourself traveling from the top to the bottom, and you'll get to a certain point, you'll open your parachute, and then you eventually land on the ground. Now, this path that we're taking, being taken down by God, we don't really know. And even better yet, now, we cannot see, but we still have to go. And the only way we're going to get there is by trusting God is going to do what he said. Yeah, trusting God is going to do what he said. And in this faith, completely unknowing of where we're going, we just have to go. Like, you gotta go with the flow, y'all. I mean, it seems like the craziest thing that we can do, but God doesn't work on our terms. Let's remember that he's all powerful. He's supernatural. He created all things. Like, he really does what he likes. I don't want to say he doesn't have to tell us what he's doing. He will give us enough insight that we will, you know, have more faith to just go down this path. But he will never give us the full blueprint of what he's doing in our life, because once we have knowledge of that and we see what may be coming up ahead, we will stop, and that stops God's plan from really doing what it needs to do. But yeah, the blind free fall, that's really what this is. Like, God's promise being fulfilled in our lives and just moving in his plan is a blind free fall. And I thank God for showing me this, because I'm still working on letting God take complete control, because some of the cliffs that I'd be jumping off, metaphorically, but some of the cliffs that he's got me jumping off are a bit mad still. Like, sometimes I'm just like, I mean, it's a bit high. I mean, yeah, it's a bit mad still, but yeah, faith and the fulfilling of promises in our lives is a blind free fall. But yeah, I want to know, guys, do you have a blind free fall testimony? Are you still learning how to fully trust God and where he's taking you, and that his promises in your life will actually be fulfilled? I want to know, guys. I want to know your thoughts on this. So hit me up and tweet your experience, hashtag the Pensive Podcast. You can DM me at Juliana_Ennis. Comment below wherever you see this post. I'd love to hear from you guys, like, what you have to say about this. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. This is episode 1. Yeah, God is good. And I pray you have received something that will cause you to kind of really think and reflect. And yeah, that's it. Guys, like this. Share this. Repost this. Follow me and this channel. All of that good stuff. Yeah, and stick around for the next episode. Thank you so much, guys. I hope you are blessed. And yeah, speak to you later. Stay blessed.